Thanks for joining us. We at First Presbyterian practice what we call a spacious Christianity, where we remind each other of our essential goodness, because it's so easy to forget that in this world, where all are welcome and diversity is celebrated, where doubts and questions are a gift that lead us into deeper conversations, where vulnerability is a strength and your tears are holy, where we encourage each other to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might have a chance to flourish in this world. It is our hope that here you will find space to breathe, a faith to believe in, and a God who believes in you. Welcome.
God of Abraham and Isaac, God of Tamar and Ruth, God of Mary and Joseph, we bow our heads today, hoping to catch a glimpse or a shimmer of you. We know that you are here with us just as you walked with every generation before, so we bring you our prayers. Thank you for creating space for us. Thank you for seeing our scattered thoughts, our imposter syndrome, our fragments of doubt, and still saying, "Come on in." Thank you for seeing our ordinary selves with anxious concerns and unflattering habits and saying, "I have bigger plans for you." Thank you for seeing our fragile egos and our uncertain relationships and saying, "You still belong here." Oh God, your expansive love makes room for us to breathe, and we want to love with our lungs and our hearts full. So today we pray, teach us how to make that same room for others. When we come face to face with stories that are different from ours, show us how to add chairs to the table. When we find ourselves face to face with stories that frustrate and test our patience, show us how to build bridges instead of walls. When we find ourselves face to face with stories that feel foreign or unrelatable, remind us to open the door to listen fully. From Abraham to Mary, you made room for every story, and that love continues to make room for us. Teach us to do the same for our neighbor, so this world will know love. With hope, we pray, using the words your Son taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Epiphany is the day in the church calendar when we celebrate the good news that the gospel is for the whole world. The story that we're going to read today is told in Matthew's gospel, chapter 2, and tells the story of the manifestation of God's revelation, being for all people. So let us hear God's word for us this morning from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. In the first chapter of his gospel, the evangelist Matthew tells the long story of Jesus' family history. He names 42 generations of ancestors, starting with Abraham, all the way to King David, and then continuing from King David all the way to Jesus. Chapter 1 of Matthew continues telling the story of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. We are told that his fiancée Mary is pregnant with a child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph plans to privately divorce her to help her not be disgraced in their community. But before this plan becomes a reality, an angel of God comes to visit Joseph in a dream and tells him not to be afraid of staying with Mary. The angel continues saying Mary's child is going to be a savior, and they are to name this child Jesus, and that Jesus will be called Emmanuel, or God with us. Joseph wakes up from the dream and does as the angel tells him. So he marries Mary and raises Jesus as his son. I imagine this is a pretty familiar story for many of us as we look at the Advent season, preparing for Christmas. And then we get to chapter 2, where Matthew writes on the first visitors of Jesus. Three magi, or they are often referred to as the three wise men, come from the east to meet and worship Jesus. The text says the first person they encounter is King Herod, where they tell Herod of the birth of Jesus, the king of the Jews. Now Herod immediately hears this as a threat, and shortly after orders all male babies under the age of 2 to eliminate this new king that could threaten his throne and his power. But the Magi see the star rising out of Jerusalem, and they immediately leave the comfort and familiarity of their home to come and worship Jesus. These were literally astrologers or magicians or wise men, people with a worldview that did not mesh well with that of ancient Israel. Not only did they have practices that Israel did not agree with or believe in, but they were Gentiles, people on the outside of God's grace and love. They were not chosen by God to be part of God's chosen people. So naturally, they were viewed as lesser than the Jewish readers of Matthew's gospel. And yet, despite all of this, the Magi are named as the first to come visit and worship Jesus, the King of the Jews. Why would Matthew do that? Why would he include these people? And another question is, why is it that the Magi felt the urge to travel such a long distance? Why did they bring such expensive gifts to a little baby that could not even appreciate the value and meaning of these gifts? And why is it that they were willing to risk the dangers of travel and the dangers of entering a country that is not theirs to bend their knees and bow to this infant? Because they knew this was no ordinary birth story. They knew there was something of historical significance happening in Jerusalem. So much so that they happily traveled the long distance from the east, bringing their expensive gifts and putting themselves in harm's way, all to see Jesus, God with us, in the flesh. The power of God's grace called the Magi out of the east to come and worship, crossing cultural and religious boundaries, because God does not like to play by our rules and systems of who is in and who is out. Instead, the God of grace, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, is one that invites and welcomes the Magi, all by grace. So if the Magi are compelled by God's grace and respond to this grace in worship and gratitude. Why is it that Herod responds so different to the news of Christ's birth? We know that Herod also hears the news that Christ has been born in Bethlehem. He calls the chief priests and teachers of the law to tell him where the child will be born. But then, rather than responding to the news like the Magi do, with worship and gratitude, Herod first chooses not to go. He tells the Magi, "Come back to me after you find the baby and tell me where he is, so I can come worship him." Herod, or one of his staff, could have made the probably 2 or 3 hour trip to Bethlehem to see for themselves that the Magi were right, that God had been born into the world. Instead, Herod stays home, telling the Magi to let him know the verdict after. Who knows whether it was a lack of faith or laziness, but nothing could move him to respond to this news in the way that the Magi did. And later, once he perceives Jesus, the new king of the Jews, to be a threat to his own reign, he orders that all the baby boys under the age of 2 to be killed. And this is just to eliminate this threat and to remain in power and to have control. For the Magi, the incarnation of God in Christ, God with us, is a blessing and a reason to change their life and their way of existing. For Herod, though, God with us is a threat, because he fears this might change his way of life, his power, and his control in a way that he does not accept. The Magi willingly accept the change, but Herod resists it as much as he can. The end of the Christmas season often makes me ask, if the event of Christ's birth happened 2,000 years ago, was God just with them while Christ had his earthly existence? Or does this idea of God with us stop after Jesus left the world to be with God the Father? In short, is God still with us today? The Swiss theologian Karl Barth answers this question saying, "God with us tells us that we ourselves are in the sphere of God. It applies to us by telling us of a history which God wills to share with us, and therefore an invasion of our history. What unites humanity to God is that God does not will to be God without us. God creates us to share with us our life and being, with God's own life and being." So the special truth about the heart of the Christian message and this idea of God with us is that God chooses to bring heaven and earth and God's life and our life into communion with one another. I mentioned earlier that Matthew telling this story of the wise men would not have been ideal for a lot of his audience at the time. Gentiles from the East coming to claim part in the story of Israel, to worship their God, would not have been an easily accepted act. It would have raised questions about their validity and the story's validity, because people normally stayed within their own tribes and people and religious groups. And yet, the first people to come worship Jesus and to bring him gifts were these Gentiles from the East. Now, most of us probably don't need much time to think of the person or groups of people that we would be surprised to see included in the grace of God. Maybe it's a relative that you struggle to see eye to eye with. Maybe you struggle to see how someone with a different worldview or ideology, or even just a view on a specific issue, could ever be included in the story of God. But this is the reason we read this story, the story of Epiphany, and why we celebrate it after Christmas every year. The tradition of Epiphany Sunday is to honor the wise men or the magi. They received a sign and the word of God with us being brought into the world. So they came, and when they saw the child, they worshiped him. And this is the good news of Epiphany, that the gospel is for the whole world. The gospel calls people who do not typically belong and invites them to respond to God's grace with gratitude. So whoever might be the person or group of people that you would find difficult to include, God's grace moves beyond those walls and barriers that we build up. The inclusion of the Magi in this story shows us that all people, even the ones we struggle to love, have a right to worship, love, and receive love from God. The good news that draws the Magi near to God is not an idea or an attribute of God. It is a person. It is God coming down to earth to be with us. So let us participate in that. Let us participate in God's work in the world in Christ. When we remember the phrase, God with us, we must also remember this means that we are with God. We are with the incarnate God who has come to be in communion and relationship with us. So as the Christmas season comes to an end, and we think about this story of God with us, the incarnation, or as Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message, puts it, he says, God put on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. So how can we live like the Magi in light of all this? How can we be moved out of our place of comfort and familiarity and come to meet Jesus with gratitude? And maybe an additional question to continue to ask is, how can we avoid making the same mistakes as Herod? Herod hears the news of Christ's birth and responds with an unwillingness to change. Herod responds unwilling to receive this good news and grace. He shows us what humanity is under the power of sin. Because he does not accept the reality of the incarnation and the revelation of God in Christ. And under this power, he thinks his best option is to kill. But the Magi embrace the power of grace, which moves them to leave their comfort and respond to God's revelation with gratitude. Epiphany and the Magi remind us that we need grace, and that God wills to be God for us. So let us live into this reality under the power of grace and live as the Magi did. Amen.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail. And
My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
And now I just want to invite you to live as the Magi did, under this power of grace. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope that you found space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. Visit us at bendfp.org. There you can get more information on who we are and what we're about. You can learn about how we're trying to make a difference in this world and how you can partner with us and support us financially. Or you can make a prayer request. Until next time, may God bless you and may you be the blessing someone else needs.